Thank you, Miss Mickey. Wow. So sorry that Pastor can't be here. My goodness. He's having a struggle. I did talk with him a little today, and he needs rest. And for him to rest, because he's a busy man, is a challenge. But we're praying, and I know you are, and asking God to accelerate the healing process with him. And praise God. Good to have all of you here tonight. Thank you for coming. All of you that are online, thank you for tuning in. And I just pray tonight that God will say something to all of our hearts. One of the things I do know, when we gather like this, God wants us to leave better than we came. Doesn't matter who's up here. I just know that's what the Lord desires. And I claim that for all of us tonight. So if you have your Bible, would go with me over to the book of Proverbs. Since we're in Proverbs, let's talk a little about a section of Scripture. In Proverbs chapter 3, very familiar to you. I'll read it in a minute. But what I want to talk to you about, something that's very applicable to all of our lives. How many of you know tonight, if somebody came up to you and said, I want you to go to this town, and you'd never heard it in your life, out in Montana, you don't know where it is. The only way you can get there is you follow somebody, or you have a map or GPS, okay? So how many know that if that's, the Bible says, first the natural, then the spiritual. So that means that God has laid out in his word a roadmap to get us where we need to go. All you have to do is follow that. Now, I don't know about you, but when we drive, June navigates and I drive. When I drive, I intensify her prayer life. She gets to be an incredible intercessor. So, but anyway, she's always so kind to help me in every way. But anyway, it's amazing to me that we have in the natural what we call maps. And matter of fact, we still, one of our vehicles, we had one right between the seats, and then somebody comes up with this, global positioning system. And if they've come up with that, don't you think God's got something for us tonight? That God would say to us, okay, here's what I'm going to show you tonight. If you will follow the map, you will get to where I, God, want you to be. Now, that's simple enough. I mean, I'm not talking about some legalism or some religious. So I'm talking about the book and what the book said. Just follow the map and you're going to arrive at a conclusion. Now, I can tell you this, and on a lighter note, for a number of years, Jen and I have been going up St. Joe, Missouri, doing a conference there for years. I don't know how long we've been doing it, but anyway, we were en route. We were up in Springfield, Missouri, and do you ever get turned around when you get somewhere and you say, well, anyway, we're going north, and we wanted to go north, but we were on this road that was going south. And we couldn't find how to get where we needed to turn and go. So we were getting pretty desperate. So there was a vacant place there, and we had some little old food shop things. And I just pulled in there, saw a guy getting him some food. And so I walk over to the guy, and I said, this is where I need to go. I have no idea how to get there. And it must have been a God thing, because he said, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. Now, I'm a total stranger to this guy. I'll tell you what I'll do. You just follow me, and I'll take you exactly where you need to go, and you can go on from there. Well, isn't that nice? Well, it was a God thing, because he did. We followed him, and when we got to where we needed to go, he waved at us, and we said goodbye, and I probably will never see him again. But here's the dilemma. We're trying to go north, but we're going south. On this particular road, it says, if you go south, over there is north. Don't that make a lot of sense? I don't know why we're going this way, looking for that way, when that way is right over there. Did you know there's too many people going south that need to go north? And God says, guess what? I got a map, and I'm going to show it to you. All you have to do is engage it. All right? So that's where we are. That's what we want to do. Tell you one more, two or three more maybe. I may have told you this, but you can't do this with an attitude. Because we were living in South Alabama, and we were en route back to where we live around Ellic City. And in Birmingham, doing a lot of construction, I was mad at her. I have no idea what I was mad about, but the thing about it, she's mad back. So when you got two mad at each other's, and she navigates and I drive, well, the navigator's mad. And I'm not about to ask her anything. I'm too mad at her to ask her, and she's too mad to tell me. I like to never got out of Birmingham. I mean, the whole issue was an attitude. All I had to do was repent, and because it was probably my fault anyway. But no, pride's no, anyway. So I want you to take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 3, and let's spend the rest of our time tonight engaging in, I'm calling it God's roadmap, but let me give it a subtitle, God's positioning system. This is our GPS. Even though GPS gets the information from above, right? Now, I mean, you know, we got GPS in our car. We don't know how to operate it, but it looks nice. We tell everybody we got one. They go, what do you do with it? We don't know. We just look at it. We're glad to have one. So we get the map out, all right? So, but we still get there, all right? We're still old school, you understand? So, but in the third chapter of Proverbs, I want to read two verses, then we're going to spend the rest of our time talking around and about these two. Verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. Now, I'm going to give you what in my heart I've been trying to walk in for many, many, many years. I don't know. I cannot tell you how many times I've gone back to this spot, got out my map, okay, and said, now, Lord, where do we go from here? So let's use the word trust. That's the first word. The Bible says, God said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The interesting thing about the word trust, it's a verb. It's a verb that requires a choice, and it requires a heart. Trust the Lord. Now watch this, with all your heart. Didn't say head. It said, trust the Lord with all your heart, because appears always changing. This is where we live. We live out of here. It works this way, this way. So the Bible says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Now, that's a choice. If you read it in the Hebrew, that verb requires a choice. You can or cannot trust the Lord. It's a choice. Well, if it's a choice, then if I choose to trust the Lord, it creates a foundation that I can build my life on, and I can get to where God wants me to be. Hallelujah. So when I look at that, I go, okay, that's the beginning of learning how to trust God. Now, I used to say this, and I will touch on it in a minute. I used to say, if I get this figured out, I'll trust God. I may have been made a fool of a lot of times. I never could figure it out. But I figured out this. I could trust God when I couldn't figure it out. You know, one time, I'll tell you how smart I am. When I got the baptism and spoke in tongues for about a year, I struggled with that. Not the experience, the tongues. You know why I struggled with it? This little voice kept telling me, you're just making that up. I heard it over and over again. One day I said, Lord, I keep thinking, I'm just making this up. You know what the Lord said to me? You're not that smart. I mean, he said that to me. And you know, when he said that to me, that doubt left and never has come back. And let me just say to all of you, you're not that smart. Come on, let's get over it. But he is, I mean, he knows where he wants you to go, and he'll get you there if you follow instructions. Okay? So I'm going to ask you to use your Bible a little bit here tonight. I want you to go over to a passage of Scripture in Psalm 37. Would you look at that with me for just a minute? Psalm 37, it's very, very, very interesting. In the 37th Psalm, if I can find it somewhere. 37th Psalm, would you look with me at verse 5? Look at verse 5, Psalm 37. Watch what he said. Commit your way to the Lord. What's the next word? Trust. Also in him. Now, how many of you know that before trust comes commitment? Commitment precedes trust. You can't trust without commitment. But if you make commitment, then you are, now watch this, then you are positioned to trust God about whatever you can't fix, but he can. Now look what he said. And he shall bring it to pass. I didn't say that. He did. He said, if you commit yourself to me and trust me, I will bring it to pass. What to pass? Whatever God's will is in this situation, he's got it. And if he's got it, I don't have to worry about it. It's like the little boy, and true story, the little boy down in Florida, and a mom and dad decided to ride out a hurricane, and things were getting worse. And the father said, I thought any minute maybe the roof, it looked like, was about to leave our house. And he said, I'm actually up on a ladder with my hand up near the roof just to see if I could feel something. And he said, I felt a little tug on my pants leg. And I looked down, and there's a little boy down there tugging on my pants leg. And he said, Daddy, are we going to be all right? He said, sure am, son. He said, well, I'm going to bed. That childlikeness, we don't need to lose. If Daddy says it's going to be all right, let's go ahead and lay down and rest. So it says, commit your way unto the Lord, and watch this, and trust. Same word back here in Proverbs 3:5. Commit your life and then trust. I love this. Trust also in him, and what will he do? Bring to pass well, what you're trusting. Years ago, in a very traumatic for me, and was for the whole family. Don't want to go in detail with it, but I was having an emotional struggle with it because it was affecting a lot of people. So I went to the Lord about it. I went downstairs at home, and I was crying. I said, Lord, I need some help. And again, how many of you know there's a difference when you have a thought and you've heard the Lord? Let me know the Lord's still talking. Well, he's not deaf and dumb. He can hear and he can talk. Now, sometimes it's impressions. We know that. Sometimes it's words. Sometimes it's a prophetic word. But God's still talking. He hadn't gone dumb and deaf. I mean, he's still talking. So he said to me, he asked me something. I said, Lord, I need help with this situation. And I didn't have a thought inside of me. You may not, but I did. I heard the Lord. The Lord said, will you trust me? Well, I mean, you know, when the Lord said, will you trust me? Don't you think that I would have thought, hallelujah, everything's going to be fine. It wasn't. He didn't tell me everything's going to be fine. He said, will you trust me? How many of you know that it don't have to be fine for you to trust him? You can trust him when it's not fine. Come on now. Now, so it didn't turn out the way we wanted it to, but there were times that I would get back into that where I was right then, and every time I got there, I didn't hear a voice, but I heard this inside of me, this whisper, but you said you would trust me. Can we trust the Lord? That's the question. That's the challenge. Now, let me give you another one. This is in the New Testament. Go to 1 Peter real quick, because I don't want to keep you all night, obviously. First Peter, and this one really helps all of us get to where we need to go. 1 Peter chapter 5, okay? Now, I want you to look at 6 and 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Here it is. And I'm going to break it down. Humble, the first word there, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Point one, pride, don't trust God. Say that again. Pride, don't trust God. Because trust has a dependence that annihilates and puts pride underfoot. Pride, trust itself. So here's Peter said, first of all, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. It didn't say in the sight of people. You ever tried to be humble? And it turned out pride because that was the root of it. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. You know the beautiful thing about the Lord? He knows. I don't know why we pretend about he don't know. I mean, it's like coming in here tonight. You go, Lord, I'm at Grace House. Glad you told me. I didn't know where you was going to church tonight. He knows. So if he knows, our humility is before him. And so humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Now watch this. And guess what? What Peter said, and he will exalt you. Exalt, what does that mean? That means lift you up from where you are if you start with humility. And then the third thing he said, and cast all your care on the Lord. The word care is where we get our word anxious, worry, anxiety. Cast all of that on the Lord. Did you ever meet anybody that if they weren't worrying, they was worried that they weren't worrying? Oh, yeah, I've known some, and I've camped out a few times myself. There's a lot of company on the worry side of the world. But the Bible said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. This is what it says. And he will exalt you. Now, here's what I like. He said, and I'll do it in due time. Didn't say he'd do it in your time. He said, in due time, that's God's time. I will move you out of this in due time. And then he said, all you have to do is take that anxiety and cast it over on me. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to care for you. It's right here in the text. I will care. But the interesting word, the second care, is different than the first one. It has nothing to do with anxiety, worry, or anxiousness. The second care has to do, cast your anxiety on me, for I have a loving disposition toward you. I love you. I go, glory to God. If it's in the shout, in it'll come out when you get that. Especially when you're, you know, like somebody said, well, how you doing? Well, under the circumstances, I'm doing fine. He said, what are you doing all there? Come on now. Hey, you know, we're seated at the right hand of the Father, so we're looking down on it, not up at it. So we all struggle with this. We still have the treasure in an earthen vessel. So the writer of Proverbs simply says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now watch this. And then, let me go back to it so we don't miss it. And then he says, and lean not to your own understanding. Now, this is where I kind of get hung up, because if it's broken, I want to fix it. My natural DNA, if it's broke, fix it. June says, give me a hammer and a saw and I'm a dangerous man. You can tell me what my talents are. But if it's broken, I want to fix it. And so there's an answer to that kind of thing. Here's what the Lord said. Lean not to your own understanding. Let me put that in Lauderdale language. Stop trying to figure everything out about life. You can't. I can tell you. Have you ever figured out you can't change anybody? It's like the little boy. Daddy said, stand up, son. He didn't get up. He said, son, I said, stand up. The little boy stood up. And when he stood up, he said, Daddy, I'm standing up on the outside, but on the inside, I'm still sitting down. Can you relate? I can. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't try to figure everything out about life. You can't figure it all out. That doesn't mean God didn't give us a brain to think. That's not it. But did you know you can't figure everybody out? And you can't figure, I mean, come on now. Sometimes when you look at government, you go, well, you go, neither do I. So what does the Lord say? Pray. Pray for the government. Lean not to your own understanding. Now, I wrote myself a note. Why should I not lean to my own understanding? This is what I came up with. First of all, I don't have all the information. I don't care what you know, you don't know it all. Have you know there's still a blank space with all of us? Don't care what it is, I don't have all the information. The second thing I wrote down is you can be tripped up by how you feel about something rather than the truth of something. So the third thing I wrote down is my abilities have limitations. Tell you a story. Always got a story. Friend of ours from Kentucky, we came down to do their vacation with us. We went to Waterloo. You need to go to Waterloo once on vacation. So anyway, a friend of ours had a cabin there, and then one of my elders had a 19-foot runabout boat. So we were using the boat and fishing and with the kids and so on and so forth. Anyway, one morning, got up about daylight, and I looked out there, and guess what? The boat sunk. The only thing was sticking up was the nose of the boat. The rest of it's under the Tennessee River. How it got there, I don't know. I mean, I know how the boat got there, but I don't know how it got on the bottom of the river. So this is a borrowed 19-foot runabout inboard. And so my friend and I, and he had a teenage boy, we go out there and, you know, if we can pick it up enough and then start dipping water out of it, it'll keep rising up enough till we eventually can drag it out of the water and go have it fixed. And it had to be fixed. We couldn't do it. My friend and I and his teenage son, we couldn't pick it up. My friend's wife and June came out there. They're standing on the pier, and they start praying. I'm telling you the truth. They start praying. We can't pick it up. They started praying. We picked that sucker up, started bailing water out of it, got it out of that Tennessee River, took it to the shop. You know, we could still be down there trying to pick that thing up. We needed some divine intervention. Why do I think that I don't have limitations? I do. And that's not a downer. That's a realistic observation. That's the reason I can't figure everything out in life as to who does what and why they did it and what am I supposed to do about it. I don't know. But God's got an answer. First thing, can I trust the Lord? I can't. Can I live without trying to figure out everything in life and give it an answer? I can do that. Third thing, and I love this. He said, in all your ways, and notice what he said. It's in the text. In all. He didn't say some of your ways. He didn't say Sunday morning or Wednesday night or revival time. You know, we used to say back in the old Methodist days, you know, every time we had a revival in August, the same folks got saved. Mike Lee told me he led the same boy to the Lord five times over that weekend. Of course, he didn't. I'm saying something to us. In all your ways, I'm as much a believer Monday morning as I am on Sunday morning. There's no difference. I mean, I am who I am no matter where I am. And it's amazing that's the call of God, is to live like this in all my ways. I'm to do something. And then he gives me the word, acknowledge him. Well, that sounds good, but what's the word acknowledge mean? The word acknowledge, let me just back up. How many of you know sometimes when you find a word If you can go some other place or two and find out how that word is used, it will help you explain how it's used in that word. Okay? So here's the word acknowledge. I won't try to pronounce it. But here's the word acknowledge. In the fourth chapter of Genesis, verse 1, verse 25. Same word. When I quote this, the same word. Adam knew his wife, and they had children. The word knew is the word for acknowledge. So the writer of Proverbs said, in all my ways acknowledge my intimacy and closeness to him. Let me tell you, how many know that God will put you in places not because he doesn't know what you're going to do, but you don't know what you're going to do. So we pull out on Highway 72 here a few years ago. And we lived the back of Kendall. We turned toward town, and 50 yards up there, there was money up and down the road. Just looked like he scattered it. I'm talking about money, real money. So what'd you do, Brother Doug? I stopped that car. I stopped all that. No, I didn't. Anyway, I stopped. We pulled over. I'm walking down the side of 72 Highway picking up money like you pick cotton. I had two handfuls, $20. I mean, I had money in both hands. Praise God. The Lord has blessed us. And I looked down and there was a billfold. Isn't that what the natural man would do? I mean, who's going to know? Come on now. There's the billfold. In the words of Chester Watkins, dad gum. So I got the billfold up and start looking and found a name, and come to find out it was a gentleman riding a bike, and his billfold came out and lost all of his money. So we contacted them and made the transition. How many of you know the Lord goes, okay, let me see what you're going to do. I mean, not long ago I was in Sam's. How many know you can't go to heaven until you go to Sam's at least once? So, I mean, you go to Sam's to buy something, come out of what, $100 of stuff you don't need, but you thought you had to have it when you're sitting there. So I come out and, man, I got this whole list of stuff I bought, and I got to look and I go, they didn't charge me for that. Huh. Well, they got more money than I got. They don't need what little that cost. Don't mind anyway. Come on now, how many of you know it wasn't about sounds? It was about, in all my ways, I will acknowledge him. I mean, you go back in there, you get back in line and go, well, here it is, you didn't charge me. People don't know how to deal with that. Are you crazy? You're coming back in here wanting to pay $8. I mean, come on now. I will tell you, this one touches my heart. And I will not tell you names, but this dear brother who's just really gotten turned on to the Lord, really got one of those childlike relationships with Jesus, and just open. Well, anyway, somebody did some stuff around his house that messed some things up. And he kind of gave him the right, Ike, you know, just you shouldn't have you. He said, normally these people don't come back next day. But they came back the next day. And he said, between that time and the next day, God dealt with me in all your ways. Acknowledge him. And he said, I called the man that I had given him the right act. I said, sir, I was out of order yesterday and I was wrong. And I've come back today to say, would you forgive me? He said, you know what that guy did? That guy looked at him and said, can I hug you? The world isn't used to that. Maybe they ought to get used to it. In all my ways, I will acknowledge him. How am I going to do that? Well, from my heart, from my words, and from my actions, we've all messed up. Who hasn't? The old foot in the mouth. And so how, when I leave here tonight in my world, how am I going to fulfill what the Bible says? Well, I jotted this down. The word there is the Hebrew word yada. Acknowledge is yada. It means I acknowledge that I'm related to him. I know him personally. He is my Lord and he is my Savior. Every context of my life, those three things. I am related to him. I know him personally. He is my Lord and Savior. Now, the Bible says, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. How many can agree with that? Now, this is a challenge for all of us. You go, well, I bet you ain't perfect, preacher. Ask June. She can tell you the truth. No, and none of us are. If you could live perfect without Jesus, we don't need Jesus. It's Jesus living in us. See, if we aren't careful, we make Christianity a list of do's. You do this, check it off. You do this, check it off. Do this and check it off. But as mean as the devil when you finish checking them all off, they were when you started. Because it don't change anything. See, religion says you are who you are because of what you do. Come on now. Christianity says you are what you are because of what you believe, and what you believe changes what you do. See, one's religion, one's relationship. That's wonderful. I can't, but he can. So, and then he kind of brings it all together. And I'm back now in Proverbs. Look at verse 6. Trust, now watch this. Trust in the Lord. That's your first stop. Trust in the Lord. Trust. Choose to. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And I've said this from this pulpit, but she's sitting here. And the day that my wife came home from the doctor, we came home, and the doctor had given us a bad diagnosis of cancer. God heals. I know that. So she starts praying, I mean, you know, and I start praying. We're not praying together. We're praying separately. And then sometime during the course of that day, we were just sitting down talking. And I said, honey, so what's he saying to you? Because the diagnosis was dire. This is what she said. She know God heals. I know he heals. She said, he told me, I'll see you through this. I start crying. I said, he told me the same thing. Okay, now we've got a word. What can we do now? Trust. We go, well, I thought you believe in healing. We do. But I can't live in the faith I don't have. I live in the faith I do have. And the faith that we had was this. He said, I'll see you through this. We had faith for that. So we're going to camp out right there. Now, we had people who came to us that love God, love us, offered all kinds of advice. But when they would go away, we go, but that's not what he said. And so we didn't move. Can I make an announcement tonight to all of our online audience and to you? She's sitting on the front row. And by God's grace, June Shelley is cancer-free. She doesn't have any cancer. It's not because we're too super saints here. It's that there was a time and a place where we said to the Lord, we trust you. And never moved. And then, well, why has she got this? I don't know. All I know is this. I will not try to figure everything out because I can't figure it all out. But in all my ways, I'm going to make a decree and a declare that I know him personally. I'm related to him. He is our Lord and our Savior. He will do what he said he would do. We stayed there. And then watch the conclusion. Trust, lean not, acknowledge in all your ways. Now watch this. It's right here in the text. And I will direct your path. Bless God, that's a promise. When Jesus told the disciple, I'm going to rise again. And you know, you can take it to the bank. When he says something, we can take it to the bank. He said, and he says, I will direct your path. Well, I mean, these Hebrew Greek words, I murder their pronunciation, but I'll give this one a shot. It's the Hebrew word, yeshar. It means to make straight or right. And so Larry, I said, I'll bet there's a place in Scripture that'll tell me exactly what you meant when you said, if you trust me and you won't try to figure it all out, in all your ways you will acknowledge me, I'll get you to the place you need to go. I bet there's another place that's going to tell me, and so I found it. Matter of fact, I found two of them. There's more than two, but I found two. So if you want to look on with me, go first of all to 2 Chronicles chapter 30 real quick, and we will be finished in a second. And I have to read two or three verses here to get to the text of the explanation. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 1. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and to Judah, and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover. Notice what the subject is. To keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. For the king and his leaders and all the assembly in Jerusalem had agreed to keep the Passover in the second month. Well, they could not keep it at the regular time because a sufficient number of priests had not been consecrated themselves, nor had the people gathered together at Jerusalem. Now, here's the text. Here's the verse. Watch this. And the matter pleased the king and all the assembly. See that word pleased? It's the word for direct. God says, if you trust me, you won't try to figure it all out. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways you'll acknowledge. It will, listen to me, it will please me. Don't you think it meant something to Jesus that day when he came up out of the water of Jordan? The Father said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. When we, Jen and I started the ministry, my dad just went to the sixth grade. He was a farmer. And all the folks he knew in the community were just farm guys. And we'd go down to the sawmill, and Dad would love to say to those old boys that he knew, this is Doc, he's a preacher. And you could tell when he told me, God's gone, well, who cares? But to Dad, it meant something. Don't you think when the Father said, that's my boy, in whom I'm well pleased. Can I tell you, God's roadmap says this. If you will trust me, come on now. If you stop trying to figure everything out with your own opinion, if you will acknowledge me in all your ways, it will please me. Let me give you one more. Over in Jeremiah, and I know the thunder is the benediction, so. Jeremiah, this is powerful. I mean, this is powerful. Jeremiah chapter 18, quickly, please. Jeremiah chapter 18, Verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord. And this is what God was saying. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make. Excuse me. It's the word direct, and it seemed good. Same word for direct. And I will direct your life. It will please me, and it will be good. Is that simple enough? I mean, I'm not a brain surgeon or a big theologian, but I know this, if I'm willing to trust him, if I don't try to figure everything out in my life, but just, I trust you. And in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge that he is my Lord, my Savior. In him I live and move and have my being. I'm going to acknowledge that. Then he will direct my path, and it will please him, and he will say it's good. I don't know about you, but that's a road map to where God wants me to be. Let's pray. While every head is bowed and eye closed, before we say the benediction here and invite, maybe Andrew, you guys can come on up if you'd like. Every head's bowed, and I don't want to go where I don't belong. I just want to encourage. I want to encourage all of us to take a step of decision. You may make it tonight and struggle with it, but don't move off of it. That there's some areas of your life that the Lord has been challenging in you, and you need to say to the Lord tonight, I choose. I make the choice. On a Wednesday night at Grace House, Florence, Alabama, I choose to trust the Lord. I can't figure it all out, but I choose to trust. Would you put your hand up? You can put it up and put it back down. It's between you and him. This is strictly between you and him. I choose to trust the Lord. Anybody else? All over the house, people lifting their hand. I choose to trust the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you for a roadmap to the place that you call good and pleasing. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us a grace, a strength, and a love for all of us that we could trust you. That our trust would be bigger than our opinion, and that we would acknowledge the Lord of our life, and the rest would be yours. Thank you for these precious ones, because I know in my heart is in mine also that we all still have the treasure in an earthen vessel. We live in a fallen world, but our decree before the throne of God is that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father in full authority, with great love and passion. That he who lives in us is bigger than he who lives in the world. That we have him, and for that we're grateful. We thank you in Jesus' name. Maybe some of our prayer team, after the benedictions, you wouldn't mind just anybody that would like, I just need somebody to pray with me, Brother Doc, about this. If you're on the prayer team, or come on down for a minute. Would you stand, please? My goodness, sounds like we're getting a nice shower outside. Would you put your hands up like this? You know, the Bible talks about lifting holy hands without wrath or doubting. The Bible talks about without wrath, without doubting. So I speak over you. May the Lord Jesus bless you, keep you, make his face shine on you, be gracious to you, and lift up his countenance upon you, give you a peace you cannot explain. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, like somebody to pray with you, please come. We'd be glad to do that. God bless you. Thanks for coming.